Good morning. The reading this morning is from Ephesians. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1176. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shirley. This is Shirley. Shirley is my buddy and partner in the gospel. She is our associate minister here, and we're going to pray for her. If you want to extend a hand her way, let's do that. Father, thank you for Shirley. Thank you for all that you are doing within her, all that you've done this week as she's looked at your word. We pray now that we would hear what you are saying through the time and the honor that Shirley has given. Would you bless her as she speaks to us? Would it be an encouragement to her and to us? And Father, would you help us not to be drunk on wine and get debauched? Amen. Amen. Bless you, friend.
Thank you. Follow that. I'm just going to go up here, Hank. Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but I just really love it when we have children dedicated. It's just such a great, it's always so happy and such a great time, and I just enjoy looking at the baby or the child who's being dedicated. So I just wanted to start thinking a bit about that, actually, to begin with, before we go on to worship, because it does link. Because I wanted to just say that this isn't a naming ceremony, as you realise probably, that is very common nowadays in our culture to have a naming ceremony where the uniqueness of a child is rightly recognised. And that has been part of our service within a service this morning, that that's what has happened. And that's why his name, Edward John Shaw, was important and spoken aloud. Because we were, in doing that, even recognizing his identity as a separate human being that is precious. But ours is a thanksgiving and a dedication for Edward, or a dedication of Edward. And so you probably heard that Ben asked the question, do you receive this child as a gift from God? And Ollie and Naomi both said, we do. So this service that we have had, this little service of thanksgiving, has actually been in response to what God has done for Ollie and Naomi in giving them this gift. It's not, in a way, their idea. It's as a response to him. And in it, we have recognized that God himself gives life, that he is the life giver, that he is the creator, that he gives good gifts to us because he loves us. And we also recognize implicitly that he even knew Edward before Ollie and Naomi did. And I love this. I'm going to read you a bit of Psalm 139 in the Message, because this was written thousands of years before ultrasound and x-rays were invented. But when this man who wrote this psalm had this amazing revelation of God's knowledge of him before he was born, before even he was in his mother's womb, you could argue. But this is what he says, and this is true for each of us. Oh, yes, you shaped me first, inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. We don't always feel that about ourselves, do we? Look in the mirror. What a creation. If only we did. Because actually, that's the truth. You know me, he says, inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. And like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you, the days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. So that recognition that we actually are called to do for not just for Edward, that is true for him, but that is also true for us, that we are marvelous creations made by God, that he has always known us, always treasured us, actually. So, what about us, this church, which is a place of worship, yes, and also a people of worship, that we are called into worship, which is simply an expression of our love and our honoring and our glorifying and our praising this God who has done such great things for us. But like the dedication of Edward, or the thanksgiving for him, when we come to worship here, and I'm going to take it much wider than that in a minute, but when we come to worship, it is in response to what God has already done for us and who God is. We don't initiate worship. It is always a response to what he has done for us individually and as a human race. John, who is one of Jesus's closest friends, says, "We love because he loved us first." Isn't that great? I know this is old news, but still glorious news. We love him because he loved us first. We rejoice because he rejoiced over us first. Zephaniah 3, which was even quoted this morning in the prayer time, he will take great delight in you. He will take great delight in you, no matter how you feel about yourself. God takes delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So when we rejoice with singing as we have just now, it's in response to God who rejoices over each one of us with singing. And as we sing, I know that Ben has this wonderful image that as we sing our praise to him, so he sings back to us. That he sings his delight and his love to us. Because again, in the Psalms, it talks about that we are surrounded with songs of salvation. Well, who sings those songs if it isn't God? He sings them and surrounds each one of us with songs of salvation. I love that image. I think it's glorious. So as Christians, and as we've sung this morning, we know ourselves to be children of God, the objects of his love. And the cross is central to our worship and our lives, because it's the cross where Jesus died. And as we come to worship, as we lead lives of worship, they are always because of who we are, and who we are is because of whose we are. So when we become Christians, our new identity is only because of who he is, of who Jesus is, and that we belong to him. We've sung those glorious songs just proclaiming, I belong to him. I'm a child of God, no longer a slave to fear. Amazing words. Let's pray for ourselves, each other, that those will be daily reality for us. Peter, who is one of Jesus' best friends, another one, he said when he came to understand what had happened when Jesus died on the cross. You know, he's not there in the narratives of the Passion of Christ. We think that he may have simply been hiding away because of shame, because of betraying Jesus. And later on, he must have come to understand what had happened, really happened, when Jesus died on the cross, his friend, in whom he had seen no sin. And he said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross. So all the stuff that we do that we wish we hadn't done and say that we wish we hadn't said, all the unkindness, all the selfishness, Jesus bore it all on the cross. And he bore our shame and our guilt in so doing as well. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. So then, what is this worship then? And I've hinted at what I'm going to talk about. And actually, it's really wonderful because a few months ago, I preached on sung worship. And God didn't lead me to preach on that this morning. And of course, we know why, because Neil Bennett is coming to talk about sung worship. So if you really want a whole day thinking about what we do when we actually sing his praise here, and when you sing at home, then come on that Saturday. It will be really worth it. He's a great chap, great worship leader, and we have all been blessed by songs that he has written as well. See, if worship is just a case of singing, coming together and singing once a week, well, plenty of others do that. Okay, they don't sing to God, but what about your football fans and your rugby fans? And some of them sing a lot louder than we do, and possibly with a lot more passion. So let it not be about that weekly singing. I don't know if I've mentioned to you, but when there was the World Cup last year and John dragged me off to Wetherspoons to watch one of the England matches. Well, what an education that was. But these young men who were so full of passion and singing, football's coming home, which it didn't, but they were singing with such passion. And I thought, God, you've made young men passionate. And of course, you want all that passion put into worship songs, not into football's coming home songs and all the rest of it. I loved it that they were so passionate. And okay, some of it was beer fueled, but they were so excited about their team. And I thought, God has made young men and older men too for a reason to be like that, to be passionate, because he wants that all channeled into faith and loving God and doing great things for God. There we are. So it is much wider than singing, and we can actually probably sing better as well than we do. But it is, I want to say that it's much wider, as we know. It is all-encompassing understanding of what worship is. If we are going to be serious about dying to our sins and living new life that he has given us by dying, then it does mean that our whole lives become an act of worship. And I know you've probably heard it before, but let's think about it again. Our whole lives. In Colossians chapter 3, which we have already studied, but we didn't really unpack this little bit. And in fact, it also comes right at the end of today's reading as well. Paul says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it all, every detail of your lives, do it in the name of Jesus. And I want to explore this whole idea. And I thought, I sort of know what in the name of Jesus means. But what does it really mean? And I was just reminded about old police programs. So this is really going to date me. But things like Zed Cars and Dixon of Dot Green. I want to make sure I said that right. Got it wrong earlier on. And the Sweeney and all of those. And you have that. Open up in the name of the law. Do you remember? You know, you don't tend to have it nowadays. They just have those one of the things and just barge in. And say, just shout police. But they used to shout, open up in the name of the law. Now, the police officers were two things at the same time. The first thing is that they were under the authority of the law, just as the criminal inside was under the authority of the law. In one way, they were equal with him. Okay, he was the wrongdoer, the miscreant, but they were equally under the law. But at the same time, they represented the law. So when they said, open up in the name of the law, two things. We too are under the law, but we represent the law to you, and therefore we have authority to say, open up. They were honoring the law. They were carrying out its purposes, if you like. They were acting on the law. And so when we are told to do everything, to say everything in the name of Jesus, the same thing applies. We are the two things. We are under his authority, but also we represent him. And that's awesome. Both things are awesome and challenging. And I don't want anyone to go away feeling really downhearted, so keep stuck in with me because I want to say something about that. At the same time, under his authority. So when we say Jesus is my Lord, actually, we mean I want to do what he wants. So forget about the law. It's not about the law. We talked about that. We're under grace. We want to please him in everything we say, everything we do. But we also, or maybe I shouldn't say but, and we represent him in the world. We represent him. And how on earth can we do that? And Ephesians verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us more Christ-like. When was the last time you asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anyone today? Put your hand up if you've asked today. Brilliant. Okay, I don't want to embarrass you. But that is just so great. But come on, shouldn't we all be asking? If it's available to us, it's going to be the power and the strength and the presence of God within us, then let's be asking more. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, that I might be more like you and less like me, more like you, Lord. That's then how we can be his representatives, only by grace, only through his strength. So here in this passage, we are told to live carefully. Do you remember? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, the Greek word for that word carefully is akribos. And actually, I thought that would probably mean circumspectly. Live circumspectly, so you're really aware of the effect you're having on others. That's it. But actually, it doesn't mean that at all. There's another word that means that, even though the Authorized Version actually says circumspectly. It means accurately and pointedly, which is quite difficult to understand. How do we live accurately and pointedly? Well, I think another way possibly that is more helpful is to say purposefully. We live purposefully with this purpose that we are under his authority and his representatives. We live purposefully. We live mindful of who we are, and it's glorious. I don't want it to make it sound hard work. It is glorious. So that I think that's probably what it means. We are to be mini Christs, as we've said before in the church. We are to be his followers, his disciples, and becoming more like him. And whether we like it or not, people do judge us when they know we're Christians. They look at us and they say, what difference does it make then? What's this God really like? It's important. It's really important to live lives carefully. John Mark Comer, who is a teacher that we've heard, some of us have heard at New Wine, and we really rate his teaching. One of the things that he said, which I'm trying to put into practice, is that he said one of the ways of living carefully, of living with Jesus, is that every time he does something new, almost like a new section in his day, he stops and prays. So, and some of you may be really good at that and pray a lot through the day. Others of you, and sometimes that's to do with personality as much as faith, others of us get really so single-minded and focused that we forget to pray. But one of the ways of coming around that is actually to say, okay, I'm going to meet this person, I'm going to pray on the way. I'm going to a meeting this evening, right, I'm going to pray before I do that. Do you see what I mean? That might be useful for some of us, that actually we just, it would just keep bringing us back to him. Some of us had that 12 o'clock, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, which was perhaps for some, you're still doing it. For others of us, it was a bit of a phase, but actually it was great, brought us back to God during the day. If we are to live carefully, we have to put those strategies in place to help us with the renewing of our minds, living for him. And then, and I just want to say this before I go on. This may all sound really ideal, and some of you may be feeling, actually, I haven't really been living under his authority recently, and I certainly haven't been a very good representative of him to the world. And if that is you, I want to say, just please take heart for two reasons. One, the Bible is full of people who are like you and like me too. And God chooses to use amazing people who just really mess up in the most amazing ways. And that's not saying we should be, but it is saying God just loves us and loves us and loves us. And when we stray from him and when we are weak in our discipline of Bible study and prayer, etc., he's just longing for us just to come back. So the second thing is, firstly, take heart from people in the Bible. But secondly, he is always there with arms open wide. He is close. We just need to say, sorry, Lord, I want you to be my master, my Lord again. Please help me to be a better representative of you. Fill my heart with love and joy and peace and those good things that you want to give. As part of this living, of being very careful about how we live, Paul then goes on, make the most of every opportunity. But he's a bit vague. He doesn't say what that means. Well, in the world will say, make the most of every opportunity to impress others. Make the most of every opportunity to look really good. Make the most of every opportunity to get as fit as you can. Make the most of every opportunity maybe to take revenge where you can on the person who's really hurt you. Make every opportunity or take every opportunity to do good to yourself. Have fun. And actually, there's nothing wrong with fun. There's nothing wrong with fun because God is the source of all joy. But Paul, even as at its most basic, I think Paul is saying, make the most of every opportunity to love. To love. To say loving things and kind things and good things and encouraging things. To act in a loving way. Be creative about how you show love and care for people, especially people who are difficult to get on with. So let's be intentional. Two more things, really. First of all, he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So let's be intentional about it. Just as asking for the filling of the Spirit, we can ask, well, what is your will, Lord? I need insight. Proverbs has got a great bit in chapter 2 about calling out to God for insight. You know, there's someone that I'm finding it so difficult to get on with. Lord, give me insight. Give me understanding. If you don't give me insight about them, then give me insight about myself and understanding about how I should behave in this situation. But Lord, please show me. Let's bring those nitty-gritty things of our lives to him. We so easily forget to do it. So find out what the Lord's will is. It's not just about the big things of where do we move and do we go abroad and do I change my job. It is also the little things which actually loom large in our lives. So let's find out what the Lord's will is. He says, as Ben quite rightly prayed, don't get drunk. Don't get drunk, which leads to debauchery. And now, in the light of everything that we've been reading and saying, you can understand why. Actually, if you are drunk, you're not that good at loving people and having insight and praying and looking to God. And you're not a great representative of Jesus. And I don't say you, we, and any of us. finally, it talks about speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. There is such an important place for singing God's praise. In some ways, we leave everything behind. I always want to say it's the most pure form of worship. I'm not sure about that. But there is a goodness and a purity about coming together and singing his worship, because that's what we're going to do in heaven, because that's what's happening in heaven right now. And there are occasionally, there have been times when I've sensed that we are joining with the angels round the throne, praising God. And it's just so glorious. So there is something special. And someone said to me, please say, Shirley, and I totally agree with her, please say it does not matter if you have got a really dreadful singing voice. It really does not matter, because what does God look on? He looks on the heart. So don't hold back if you've got a croaky voice or a growler, as one of my music teachers called it, which wasn't very kind. If you have got a voice that isn't really very great, you just sing your heart out, because it comes from your heart. It does not matter whether it's at home or here when we join together. So finally, let's let our sung worship, when we come together, be an expression of how we want our lives to be, but also proclaiming who he is and whose we are. Amen.